dig it. Right
on. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to Future Focus Now, giving you great conversations with great guests from Winston-Salem State University and beyond. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor Elwood L. Robinson.
Welcome to another edition of Future Focus Now. My very special guest is T. Lee Covington, who came to senior services in August 2015 as Chief Operating Officer, bringing with him more than 24 years experience in nonprofit management and leadership. On January 31st, 2017, Lee assumed the role of President and CEO following the retirement of Richard Gottlieb, who had been there for 35 years as the agency born and raised in Alamance County. He attended Eastern Alamance High and majored in business administration and finance with a minor in music at Elon University. Later, he completed a master's in public administration from UNC Greensboro with a concentration in nonprofit management. And more recently, an executive certificate and nonprofit leadership from Duke University. Lee has been involved in various nonprofit leadership positions for more than 30 years. For 6 years before joining senior services, he had been living in Clemens and commuting to Reidsville as executive director of Rockingham County's Aging, Disability, and Transit Services, where he was involved in the national More Than a Meal study in partnership with Meals on Wheels America. He's a proud member of the Leadership Winston-Salem class of 2016. He lives in Pofftown with his wife, Carol, and they have three adult sons. It is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome to the conversation and welcome to Future Focus Now, Lee Covington. Lee, good evening. Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I hope you are.
I'm doing well. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
It's good to be seen, right?
As they say. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Look, I've been excited about this show for a while. I was glad we were able to pull it together. It really is an opportunity for us to talk about the great work that you're doing here in Winston-Salem at Senior Services, but it gives us an opportunity to really talk about senior care. I know that's important to so many people. Tell us a little bit about, like, give us your Reader's Digest kind of synopsis of Senior Services. What is Senior Services?
So we are a nonprofit organization that really dates back to 1962. And that was when a few local volunteers saw a need. And what they discovered was some of their friends and neighbors were becoming unable to leave the home and maybe were having difficulty with preparing food for themselves. And so they came together and cooked some food and delivered it. That was the humble beginning of our Meals on Wheels program back in 1962. And that makes us the oldest continuously operating Meals on Wheels program in the Southeast and one of the oldest in the country.
Wow.
So that's the program that's probably most well known, but really our mission is much broader than that. We're all about helping Forsyth County's older adults to remain in their homes for as long as possible, living with dignity and aging with purpose. And we do that through a variety of programs in addition to Meals on Wheels.
Well, I mean, I love that. Giving older Americans, older citizens a chance to live in their homes, which tends to be so important, Lee.
Yes.
I mean, you and I, we've known each other We actually came to Winston-Salem in our positions almost at the exact same time.
Yes.
And so our paths cross often in this city as we try to create a better life for all the citizens in this area. And senior services is a major part of that. But living at home as long as you can, living with grace, living with dignity, that's important. You do that so well. Why is that important to our elder citizens today?
Well, the older adults that are our friends and neighbors here in Forsyth County, they are a big part of the reason that we're able to enjoy the things that we do in this great city and this great county. And so we believe very strongly that we should honor that history. We should honor their contributions to our society and to our community. And as they age and start to need additional supports and assistance, we want to be there for them. We want to help family caregivers be there for them. We want to help friends and neighbors and volunteers be there for them. And it's important as we age that we continue to have opportunity to retain our dignity and to give back, to use our skills, our gifts, and our talents. And so we view aging really as not a period of decline, although sometimes there is some physical and health decline that comes with aging. We see it as a period of continuous growth. You know, we never stop learning. We never stop being creative. We never stop having things to offer. So that's kind of our approach to aging and the way that we do the services that we provide in the community.
Oh, great. And Lee, how did you get into this work? I mean, what brought you here? Oftentimes people tell me, did you always want to be a chancellor? Were you always into higher education? What got you there? I'm going to throw this to you. How did you get into to this area?
It's an interesting question. I actually, my undergraduate degree was in finance, and I started out post-college in the banking industry and spent 4 years as a banker working in branch management and as a loan officer. And just decided one day that really is not how I, you know, nothing against bankers. They're important. We need them. But it wasn't really making me happy. And so I was fortunate at that time to fall into a position with a nonprofit organization. They gave me a chance. I really didn't have the right credentials or education or qualifications, but I had a passion for helping people. And that was about 31 years ago now, and the rest is history. And, you know, as far as my role with senior services, having grown up two doors down from my paternal grandparents, watching my grandmother care for my grandfather who had a stroke when he was 60. And that was right about the time I was born. So that's the only grandpa I ever knew, is the grandpa whose speech was a bit slurred, who needed a cane and then later a walker so that he could be mobile. And I watched my grandmother care for him. And I watched my aunts and uncles be there and care for him. And then later, watched my own mother care for her father, who lived to be 98. And he was in South Carolina, and she drove down every weekend and then later on spent a week at a time with him. So that was the example that I was given early on, that we take care of the older adults who have taken care of us. And I just feel very fortunate to have fallen into a career where I can do this work that I love each and every day.
And wonderful. I mean, I didn't know that you started out in finance. You know, that's interesting shift to go from finance to being CEO of senior services, but we're glad you made that shift. We're glad you're in this position. As you look at what's happening in the country, Lee, you know, we find that Americans are certainly living longer and longer. Life expectancy has shifted over the last century. And it continues to grow. And one of the things that we have seen is that it will continue to grow exponentially over the next 20, 30, 40 years. And it's projected by the year 2040 that there'll be 80 million seniors in this country. How are we prepared? I know that senior services is certainly in this space, and there are other agencies, other folks in this. What do we need to do to prepare for this increased interest in the aging population?
Well, it's a huge opportunity, as you have already articulated. I think we're sort of in the midst of that tremendous expected growth pattern right now. And, you know, we're seeing that the numbers of people that we're serving every year continue to grow. We're seeing that the calls from family caregivers continue to grow. And I think we have to work along with our other partners in the industry. You know, our focus is keeping folks in their homes, but there are other players in the senior industry who serve other needs. You know, folks that may be better served in an assisted living or a skilled nursing center or a continuing care retirement community. So it takes all of us really to make this work. And one of the things that we are focused on now as well is ensuring that family caregivers have the education and the support that they need so that they can do the best job possible. Oftentimes what we see, and I know you've seen this as well, is that family members who are providing that round-the-clock care for their loved one, it's a hard job. And sometimes they don't know exactly the best way to approach it, depending on the situation. They get burned out. They get tired. Sometimes they have to give up their own career, their own jobs. And so that's part of what Senior Services is doing. And in addition to those direct services for older adults, is finding even better and more creative ways to help lift up and support those family caregivers, because that's the only way, I think, as the older adult population continues to grow, that we're going to be able to make this work.
Yeah. And so one of the things, and you know, my wife and I, Denise, she actually sits on your board.
Yes.
And so we certainly believe very strongly in the work of Senior Services. And for us, it's personal. And for so many people who are listening to us and looking and watching us tonight, it's personal. Family members, mothers, fathers, grandparents. And oftentimes what we find and what we found almost 30 years ago was being in this, finding ourselves in a place that we needed to have care and not knowing where to go. Mm-hmm. And not understanding there are so many options out there that are available. What I hope is people who are watching this will leave is to know that they're not alone and there are services out there available. Talk to folks like Denise and I, were the way we were 30 years ago and the way people come to you. Give us some sense of what's available for them.
So I'll begin with what Senior Services has to offer. And we, as you know, have a broad array of services. You've heard a little bit about Meals on Wheels, and our Meals on Wheels program and in a given 12-month cycle serves about 1,600 folks. And at any given time, we've got between 1,000 and 1,200 recipients on that program. That program happens with the help of about 1,600 dedicated volunteers, without whom we simply could not do it, because we're delivering hot meals to people's homes 5 days a week. There's 71 routes across the county that require volunteers each and every day. There are 21 routes for folks that live in the more rural parts of the county where we deliver frozen meals to them once every 2 weeks. So they get 10 meals every 2 weeks. That also utilizes volunteers. And so again, without those volunteers, we could not make that work. In addition to Meals on Wheels, we have a sister program called Senior Lunch. And we're serving right now about 140, 150 folks in that program across four different sites. We've got one site in Kernersville, and there are three located in Winston-Salem. That program runs 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and really is geared more to older adults who are able to leave the home, who may be still a little more active. Whereas our Meals on Wheels recipients typically have a considerable amount of difficulty being able to leave the home. In addition, we have a robust home care program. Most folks don't realize that Senior Services does that work. We have a team of registered nurses and certified nursing assistants that provide care. This is non-medical care, so it's hands-on personal care assistance with bathing, dressing, light housekeeping, light meal prep, things of that nature. Again, services that help folks remain in their homes. Right now, we're serving about 115 people on that program, again, with RNs and a team of 20 certified nursing assistants, and we're so grateful for the work that they do. We have another program called Living at Home. This is a Medicaid waiver program that serves around 200 folks, and this is for individuals who have Medicaid who would otherwise qualify to be living in a skilled nursing facility. And so we have a team of highly skilled social workers and care coordinators, case managers that help coordinate the services that they need to remain successfully in their homes. Great, great program that serves a lot of wonderful folks. We've got an incredible team of aging resources specialists that operate our helpline. And they respond each year to between 12 and 14,000 requests for information related to aging services, mostly from folks right here in Forsyth County. So they are the experts. If you have an aging related question or need, that's where you start with Senior Services Helpline, and they can help direct you to the various things that you may need. Another one of our signature programs is our award-winning Elizabeth and Tab Williams Adult Day Center, which is a licensed adult day care, day health center. It's located over on Cloverdale Avenue, just up from Atrium Wake Forest Baptist Hospital. And that program right now serves about 100 folks. We have been as high as 140 to 150. We're kind of recovering from COVID, because during COVID, that program had to close for about a year. So the numbers are coming back up again, about 90 to 100 folks. And our focus there, Chancellor, is serving older adults who primarily who are living with memory loss, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease. And we've got a highly skilled staff over there of about 30 professionals who are loving and caring and provide a great service during the day. That center's open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., 5 days a week. It's a great place for the loved one who's living with memory loss. It's also a great service for that family caregiver. You know, maybe that's an aging spouse who needs a break. Maybe it's an adult child like you and me as caregivers who need to go to work. So they bring mom or dad, drop them off. They spend the day with us. There are lots of fun activities. There's hot meal, good snacks. And when the day is done, they go home. They're tired. And they usually rest better, sleep better at night. And everyone is happier. And so, as you can see, it's a wide array of programs. In a given year, we serve directly about 24 to 2,600 older adults in Forsyth County. And that does not include those folks that are served by our helpline and aging resources team.
Yeah, I mean, just an amazing array of services that we want folks to be aware of. You know, I visited your adult daycare and they wore me out. I ended up, you know, playing games with them, and I probably shouldn't have. I was tired by the time I left. So it is a wonderful facility. You talked about some of these programs. Let me unpack a couple things that you mentioned, and I'll go back to your Meals on Wheels, because we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, and something that Denise and I will be involved in next Tuesday. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. But you mentioned that program and the volunteers. Did I hear you say 1,600? Is that every day?
That's total. So that's total. In a given day, we may, because there are 71 routes every day. Yeah. And so we could have, most folks usually have a volunteer buddy that comes with them. And so if you think we've got two volunteers on each route, that's 142 volunteers that are active each and every day just for Meals on Wheels.
Wow. That seems almost impossible to coordinate. Now, I'm trying to figure all this in my mind. And I know as you sit as CEO, you probably don't have this because it's a lot of moving parts to it. How does one become a volunteer?
So they just need to give us a call. We have a wonderful volunteer manager, Brittany Telez, and they would be directed to her first. She usually has a conversation with folks who are interested, learns about their skills and their interests, and then makes the best match. And we have a number of volunteers who do more than one thing. They may deliver Meals on Wheels. They may, like you have, volunteer at the Williams Adult Day Center. They may have some special skills that we could utilize in our administrative office and we have a number of volunteers who assist in that way. So they just need to give us a call and ask for Brittany.
Wow, great. And you mentioned something that I think is really important, and that's living at your living at home program. How does one take advantage of these services? And I can imagine folks who are looking at us tonight and who are listening will say, well, you know, those services are great, you know, that's great, but I don't think I could afford them. So talk a little bit about price and affordability.
Okay. So the answer to that question really varies with the program. The Living at Home program, because it is a Medicaid waiver, is strictly funded through Medicaid. So there is no cost to the individual recipient for any of those services. Most of our services, we do have an opportunity for folks who have resources to pay privately for the service. We see that more with our adult day center than any other service. But it's important to note, especially with the adult day center, that we have never, ever turned anyone away because they couldn't pay for the service. We find a way to cover that expense through fundraising, through donors, a variety of grants and other things. And the majority, about 89 to 90% of the people that we serve every year, Chancellor, are folks who are living at or below poverty level. And so the great majority of folks are not paying anything for the services they receive. We do give them the opportunity to make a contribution if they choose to do so. And a lot of folks take advantage of that. And it may be $5 a month, but that's important to them to be able to contribute to supporting the services that they receive and helping others receive those services as well.
Yeah. In order to do this work, which is highly personal to most people, and they want to make sure that they're providing the highest possible care for their loved ones, talk a little bit about your philosophy of care and the people that you either recruit or hope to get as volunteers. Who are you looking for? Who works best in these settings?
So we really are looking for folks who first have a heart for serving people, you know, that kind of servant mentality. We're looking for folks who understand that the work that we do requires respect for the older adults that we serve, for your fellow volunteers, for the staff members at Senior Services. We're looking for folks who want to give back and just be a part of making their community a better place.
Yeah. You know, so one of the highest, I think, you know, statements that one makes when they're in your position or people who work at Senior Services, you ask them a question, would you send your loved one here? And I'm always interested if I talk to a physician and they said, you know, this physician would say, you know, I would send, that's where my mother goes, or I would send my mother there. I'm wondering if we poll people at Senior Services, how would folks respond and react to that?
That's a great question. I think based on the surveys that we do on a regular basis, it would be a very, very high percentage that would say absolutely, probably 98 to 100% that would say, yes, I would send my loved one. I would have those CNAs coming into my home. Those volunteers with Meals on Wheels show up with a smile every day, and it's just so great to see them. And, you know, that's one thing that's important about the Meals on Wheels program. Yes, that lunchtime meal is great, but that smiling face and that moment of human connection is critical. For a lot of those meal recipients, we are the only face that they see in the day. Yeah. And so that human connection is perhaps as important as the meal. So we need volunteers that understand that and understand how important that face-to-face interaction is, particularly for a lot of the older adults that we serve who are living with some pretty significant isolation.
Right. And you've had
a number of folks who take part of your services, a number of seniors there. I've been to programs where I've seen artwork and things of that nature, which is really a powerful, if you get a chance to see that. Tell us a couple stories, if you would, about some of the patients that you've had that really moved you in some significant ways.
So there are a couple that come to mind immediately. One of the things that we've been doing in our Aging with Purpose pilot, which is now sort of being rebranded as Creative Connections, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But one of the things we have done is partner with local visual artists who, prior to COVID, were going into the homes of older adults, isolated seniors who, you know, needed that face-to-face interaction, and doing one-on-one art lessons with them. And so through that process, it was really magical because we discovered, and some of the older adults we are serving discovered, that they had a hidden artistic talent that they knew nothing about. And there's one in particular, an older woman who at the time was 100. She's now 101 and still receiving support from senior services. And she at the time also was living with cancer. And those of you who have been touched by cancer know sometimes that brings on significant pain. And her comment to us, she says, "You know, when I'm painting, I feel no pain." What a great success story that she discovered that she had this hidden talent as an artist, and then was able to continue to do that to help manage the pain related to her cancer. So that's one great story. There's another one that is rooted in our adult day center. And again, this was pre-COVID, but we're hoping to get back to this soon. We had a partnership with Kinder Music International, where we had caregivers and young children, toddlers, coming into the center every week and doing intergenerational Kinder Music classes. So if folks don't know what Kinder Music is, it's an early childhood program. It's all about creative movement and music and rhythm and dancing and just having a great time. And so the older adults that we're serving at the day center were kind of helping as teachers in that model. And the young children and their parent or grandparent would come in, and we'd spend 30 minutes together each week. And there was a woman who was a participant in our day center who was fairly far along in her journey with memory loss and dementia, had gotten to the place where she really didn't have words anymore. She didn't use words to communicate. And one day, after a Kinder Music class, our staff observed her sitting at the table with another participant playing a card game, and she actually spoke a complete sentence.
Oh.
And then later that night, she went home, and she and her husband were watching a documentary about a poet. And she got up from the sofa, went over to their bookshelf, and pulled a book of that poet's work off of their bookshelf. And so the cognitive awareness that she displayed on that day following her Kinder Music class was just transformational. Her husband couldn't believe it. Our staff couldn't believe it. And so that's just another example of the magic that happens across senior services each and every day.
Yeah, and that's what makes, I think, the experiences that folks who take advantage of the services have, as well as those individuals who are delivering those services. Those are magical, magical moments that you look for. And I appreciate you sharing those two stories with us. Lee, as we look at the work that's happening at Senior Services, and what do we learn about healthy aging? And are there things that we can take away from the work that's going on there from a research standpoint, from a clinical standpoint, that can help folks as they prepare for their latter years?
So, yes, as a matter of fact, you know, all the things that our doctors tell us throughout our life, healthy eating, exercise, you know, try to minimize your overuse of tobacco and alcohol products, all of those things that we've heard yes, those are things that are important. Physical activity and remaining connected also are important. And we're learning more and more about how creativity and artistic expression is important as we age. You know, we've got a number of fantastic partners, Winston-Salem State University being one, the healthcare partners in our area. And we've done some things over the last few years that have helped enlighten us about how we should move forward. You know, there's a lot of great research that happens across the country, right here in our own community with the Stick Center for Healthy Aging and Alzheimer's Prevention, part of Atrium Wake Forest Baptist Health. Novant's doing some great work. The universities are doing great work. And so what we want to do is partner with all of them, because we have access to, you know, 2,000, 2,500 older adults who may have an interest in being part of learning more about how to age better and age in place better.
No, we appreciate that. And we certainly want to continue to be a great partner with the many health related programs that we have here at Winston-Salem State. We certainly want to get into innovation, being able to design certain kinds of products. I think for folks as they get older is important to us, and we'll continue to be in that space. It's interesting as we think about this conversation, when I was a first year professor, and this is back in 1984, that's a long time ago, the first year professor, I got a call from a group at a church, and they said that they had a group, and their group, the title of the group was Living to be 100. And I was I was intrigued by this, that they were working to have in place ways in which they could have healthy aging. They'd reached out to me because they heard that I was a psychologist and I was into stress management and those kinds of things. And they invited me to one of their meetings. And I became part of that group. I mean, for years, I became, you know, someone that worked with them and interacted with them. And it was so refreshing to be a part of that. I learned so much because I had so much respect for them as they thought about the whole idea, you know, of healthy aging. And I think the work that you do and many of us do in these spaces really shine a light on how we can live our lives to be prepared for healthy aging. Mm-hmm. Because as I tell folks, you know, living to be relatively old is a recent phenomenon. It's something that we just haven't been prepared for. I mean, we don't have a lot of research in terms of how folks function cognitively or physically, because as you know, and most of us in this space knows, 100 years ago, the life expectancy was like 55
right.
years.
That's right, right.
So we're learning as we are growing and aging.
Well, it's interesting that you would mention that. You know, I looked at our data this morning, and we're actually serving at this point 6 folks who are over 100.
How many?
6.
Okay.
And we're serving 140 folks who are over 90.
Wow.
So those numbers are pretty impressive. And these are folks who are still living in their home in the community with the support and assistance they need to do so.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic when we think about how many folks we have today in this country who are now over 100. We never would have expected this years ago. And so we have to keep that in mind. Let's talk about some of your signature events that you do at Senior Services. One that I always look forward to, and that is what we do around Alzheimer's.
Yes, indeed. And the timing is perfect because that event is happening as we speak.
As we speak.
It's typically near the end of October, 1st of November. Unfortunately, because of COVID, the last 2 years, we've had to make it more of a virtual or hybrid event. But typically, and this is our 21st year for the Evening for Alzheimer's Care. It is our signature fundraising event. It's typically a gala type event with dinner and a silent auction and just a fun, festive time Of course, this is our second year now of it being virtual. But the online auction portion of that, and we've got close to 300 great items in that auction. And if folks go there, they'll see some Winston-Salem State University swag in that auction as well. And we appreciate that support. But this is an event that helps raise funds for the Williams Adult Day Center. And I mentioned earlier that we have never turned anyone away from service because they couldn't pay. This event is part of the reason why, because we raise several hundred thousand dollars each year from this community that goes directly into our budget to provide scholarships for folks to attend the Adult Day Center when they can't afford to pay it. So live auction opened up this past Friday. It runs through this coming Friday, which is, I guess, just a few days now away. At 9 p.m. it will close. Folks can go to our website, seniorservicesinc.org, and access the event website from there. And so we're just, again, it's our 21st year. We're looking for another great event this year and hope that next year we can be back in person like we have in the past. Yeah. The other event that we do every year in the spring is our art show and sale that benefits Meals on Wheels. And this was a brainchild of Bonnie. Her last name just escaped me. And Dale James. And they were two local artists who had this idea of creating an art show 11 years ago. And this event, it brings in about 60 local artists, all types of original works of art that are for sale. The artists donate a portion of the proceeds to Meals on Wheels. Last year, this event raised about $150,000 for Meals on Wheels. And again, that's one of the reasons that we're able to provide that service on an ongoing basis for about 1,600 folks every year with really little to no cost to them.
No, those are two great events. I encourage folks to be a part of those events. Go to Senior Services website and go great items. If you want some Winston-Salem State, University swag, you can do that as well. In terms of the art exhibit, I'm reminded, is this the situation of where, because I went through and there was a painting with a lady with a red hat. What am I thinking about? There was a story behind the red hat.
So you're thinking of one of the photographs that is hanging in our administrative office building on Shore Fair Drive. And that is Miss Ella Ruth, who unfortunately is no longer with us. She was a participant at our Williams Adult Day Center. And there is a story behind that red hat, and I'll tell you that story. We usually have a professional photographer come in and take these beautiful photos once every year. And the photographer had come, and Ella Ruth was one of the subjects for those portraits. And when we got the photos back, the staff was sharing the photos of Ella Ruth with her daughter, who had come to pick her up from the day center that afternoon. And her daughter said to her mom, "Mom, look at this beautiful photo. Do you know who that is?" And Ella Ruth had worn, when she had the photo made, a lovely red knitted toboggan or hat. And she studied that photo for just a bit. She was fairly far along in her memory loss journey at that point. And she said, "No, but whoever it is, she's got my hat on." So she recognized that red hat as hers, maybe didn't recognize the face that she saw at that point in that beautiful photo. So yes, that photo is still hanging on our wall. It's one of my favorites. And if folks will log on to our Evening for Alzheimer's event this Friday night at 8 p.m., there's going to be a short program, about 25 minutes is pre-recorded. And you will actually get to hear Ella Ruth's granddaughter as part of that program. So I would encourage folks to go to our website and look for the Evening for Alzheimer's Care event and be there 8 p.m. this Friday evening.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing that, Lee. I remember the story. It touched my heart. The first time you told that story, and it has stayed with me. Lee, if you would, talk about this community. I mean, I love the support. I love the giving in this community. I don't know how widespread it is, but it is a special community. Talk about the support that you have gotten as CEO of Senior Services from this community.
This community really is one of a kind, Chancellor. It's unlike anything that I've ever seen. That's why I'm here. That's why my family's here. We would not want to be anywhere else. And to be at an organization like Senior Services, who is so fortunate to have an incredible group of faithful donors who give of their resources every year, a group of faithful volunteers who give of their time and their attention to help us accomplish our mission, really is just amazing. You know, our fundraising team raises, believe it or not, about $2 million every year to support our budget. There aren't many nonprofits our size who can say that they've got a community that is that supportive. There aren't many nonprofits our size who can say, hey, we've got 16 or 1700 faithful and dedicated volunteers who help bring our mission to life. There aren't many organizations our size who can say, hey, we've got these fantastic partnerships with our healthcare systems, with our local wonderful universities like we have with you, with Wake Forest, with Salem, with Forsyth Tech. So all of that really just adds to the magic that is Senior Services. And without the incredible support of this generous community, we simply couldn't do what we do.
Yeah. I feel the exact same way. I'm always appreciative and honored to be in this community. You are aware, not many of our viewers and listeners might not be aware, but a couple years ago, our Honda All-Star team that weren't able to participate and go to California, but because they were in the competition, Honda gave, I think it was like, I don't know, 5,000. I can't remember what the dollar amount was that they could donate to a charity of their own. And our team, the Winston-Salem State University students, decided that Senior Services was one of the organizations that they wanted to have their funding go to. And we were able to come over to Senior Services and bring that team with us and make that donation to you and Senior Services. And not only do we have the support and the giving of this community, but the support and giving of students at Winston-Salem State University.
Absolutely, and I can still remember that special day. If I recall, that was at the very beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so that was our first experience gathering with the masks, covering our faces, and we had a great photo opportunity with that big check. And so it was an honor for us to be selected by your students in such a way and to receive that financial gift. It was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Now, in order to do this work, it really requires, you know, partnerships and collaboration. You mentioned that early on. I know that there are some big changes that are in store for the future of Senior Services. I also know that you are in the early stages or phases. I know we can't talk about that of a capital campaign, but you got a grand vision. Talk as much as you can about why the campaign is important, and then talk about the transformation that it looks like it's going to happen with Senior Services.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. This really is kind of the next big step for Senior Services, and it's informed by the work that we've been doing for so many years, and in particular over the last 5 years with our Aging with Purpose pilot. I mentioned earlier the one-on-one art lessons in the home and our partnership with Kinder Music, and we've partnered with UNC School of the Arts to have students bring live music to the doorstep of Meals on Wheels recipients. We've got students from Winston-Salem State engaged at our Adult Day Center in all kinds of creative ways. And really, that has all informed this next big step for Senior Services. And so you're right. I can't talk about the specifics of the capital campaign at this point. We are still in the early phases and in the sort of the quiet phase. We will be going public with that next spring, March or April. So stay tuned, folks. You will be hearing more about it. But what we've been calling the big idea for about two and a half years now is really what has grown into the new name of Intergenerational Center for Arts and Wellness. And so what we plan to do is to build a new facility that will be there on our site at Shorefair Drive, on the corner of Shorefair Drive and 30th Street. It's right across from the backside of the fairgrounds and the Wake Forest football and baseball stadium, for folks who may not be aware. And we plan to build a new facility that will be about 61,000 square feet. It will be the new home for our award-winning Williams Adult Day Center, offering us about 50% more square footage than we have in our current facility. So we'll be able to serve more older adults living with memory loss there. And we're particularly excited about some of our other partners, a variety of partners that will be in their own dedicated space in this building. And I'm going to start with the obvious, which is Winston-Salem State University. And we're thrilled. And every time we talk with your team, I think we all just get more and more excited. The plan is to have a large representation from the health sciences areas of Winston-Salem State. And so occupational therapy, physical therapy, nursing, recreational therapy, your healthcare management curriculum. And so you all will in this new building have, I think, about 8,000 square feet that's dedicated to you, where your students can come over and be part of classroom learning in that space, but also be part of hands-on clinical learning, where services will be provided to folks in the building, but also to folks from the community. And so we're incredibly excited about that partnership, about the hands-on learning activities, about bringing your wonderful students over to be part of those intergenerational interactions that happen in the space. We'll also have a dedicated space for Novant Health and for Atrium Wake Forest Baptist Health. So Atrium Wake Forest Baptist will be bringing a satellite clinic, an extension of their STIC Center for Healthy Aging and Alzheimer's Prevention. So all their great focus work about around geriatrics and serving older adults and their research will be brought into this space. Novant plans to have kind of a general purpose multifunctional clinic that may focus on serving folks who are living with diabetes, helping with education and hopefully healthy diets and diabetes prevention, as well as perhaps some other types of wraparound services. I think they really will respond to the needs that are identified in the community and those neighborhoods around us. So that's really a strong healthcare and wellness focus with those three partners. We're going to have a couple of other dedicated space partners. The Second Harvest Food Bank Providence Kitchen, we hope we're going to be operating a cafe in the space where they'll be providing healthy foods. We're also going to have a teaching kitchen in the space. And so they will be providing nutrition classes. Cancer Services also has expressed interest in providing nutrition classes in that teaching kitchen. And so excited about those partnerships. The Maya Angelou Center for Health Equity will be a partner. They're looking at providing a series of caregiver college type training sessions for folks in the community to help, again, uplift caregivers and provide them with the education and the support that they need to serve their loved ones in the home. We're also incredibly excited about having the Sawtooth School for Visual Art in dedicated space. We'll actually have two large art classrooms, one that will be focused on fiber arts, weaving, and anything related to fabrics. And then we'll have a pottery and ceramic studio, as well as drawing, painting, and other visual art classes that will be provided by the Sawtooth School. These classes are envisioned to be intergenerational. And so we'll have people of all ages in those classes and people from the community, as well as folks from within the building. Another important partner that brings the intergenerational aspect is family services. And they will have a dedicated space where they will operate a child development center. They'll have six classrooms that will serve, we think, about 100 to 105 children from all parts of the community. We're talking with folks in the Boston Thurman community right now about children from their neighborhood being able to access the center. And so we'll have kids in this space from toddler through high school and college, through older adults. And the idea is that we create this magical space where intergenerational engagement and activity is part of everyday life. And it's rooted in arts and creativity and in overall wellness. We've got several other arts partners, such as Christina Soriano and her improvement work. She's with the dance department at Wake Forest University and also works in the provost office. And we're excited about them being part of this. There are other arts partners such as the 40 Plus Stage Company, the Arts Council, the Winston-Salem Symphony. So just trying to really bring, you know, this is the city of arts and innovation, right? Yeah. And so we're building on the work that we've done. We're building on all the great work that all of these partners have done in our community. The vision that they have for bringing the generations together. There's been so much research about intergenerational interaction and how everyone benefits. There's a lot of research about arts and creativity throughout the ages. You know, creativity is something we never lose. And older adults, especially who are living with memory loss, respond very well to these kinds of opportunities. So that's really the grand vision. So stay tuned.
Look, that is some grand vision, my friend. I was sold the minute that you unveiled this great vision about this. You have named, you know, 10 to 12 just amazing entities in and of themselves that do great work. To be able to pull all this together collectively is no small feat. And to be able to get them to buy in, many of which sometimes are in slight competition with one another, but to be able to create a space like this, intergenerational kind of exposure, I think is just incredible. And I tip my hat to you. I can't wait for everything to be unveiled. I know it's not going to be a problem raising the funds for it. And once it's completed, it's going to be a destination place for people around this country to come and see what's happening in this space. There's nothing else like this in the country.
That's right. There really is nothing like it. And, you know, I think the great thing is, yes, we're going to love showing others what we're doing, but knowing the benefits for our friends and neighbors here in Winston-Salem and Forsyth County, the impact that it's going to have on the lives of all the older adults that we serve, on the lives of the younger folks that you all serve, the children that will be part of this center. One other important partner that I've neglected to mention, and I apologize for that, but we're hoping that the Hispanic League will be joining us in making this their new home as well. And so they bring younger families into the space and a whole new perspective that's going to be valuable for the work that we do, because right now the Hispanic community in our area skews younger, but we're beginning to see more older adults. And so we need to be prepared as an organization to gain their trust and to be able to serve them and in the ways that we serve everyone else.
Yeah. Look, I mean, this has been great. I mean, we could continue. We only have a few minutes left. So I got to transition to what's happening next week. Yeah. Now, Meals on Wheels, every millionth meal that's served, there's sort of a celebratory kind of moment, you know? Right. And so now we're coming close to this 7th millionth meal that's going to be delivered. I received the letter. I am still, you know, amazed and overjoyed the fact that you guys would select Denise and me to do this. But I received this letter about being able to deliver the 7th millionth meal. Tell our audience what that's about and what's going to happen next Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
So, that's right. And so it's important. That's the 7 millionth Meals on Wheels meal here in Forsyth County.
Okay.
right? That's not statewide or nationwide. That's right here in Forsyth County. It took us about 30 years to get to the first million, but we've clocked them off pretty regularly here lately. We deliver about 250,000 meals a year. So yes, next week we will deliver our 7 millionth meal. We're thrilled that you and Denise are going to be with us to do that. And I hear there are going to be some other folks from Winston-Salem State University that will make it a very festive and fun event. And we're excited about that. So it's a big day for us. It's certainly going to be a big day for the special recipient who receives that 7 millionth meal. So thank you for you and your team's engagement with us and for all the work that's gone into planning it. As you might imagine, it's no easy feat to pull this off. And so we're excited and looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, I want to thank, you know, my team as well for working with you to pull this off. It's going to be very special. Here at Winston-Salem State University, we do things big, you know, and like what we say, Lee, is that we show up and we also show out.
Yes.
So accompanying Denise and me we'll have members of the band, the Red Seals. I'm going to have the cheerleaders. We're going to have some students that will be there when we deliver the 7th millionth meal next week. So it's going to be a grand affair. We're excited. We're glad to be a part of this. I think it continues to solidify and extend the partnership that we have with Senior Services. I hope everyone got a chance to hear and will go back and look at this broadcast again about all the partners that are involved with Senior Services and the work that we're doing at Winston-Salem State University is so much a part of that. Okay. So we are here, we are at the end. And so I want to thank you. Lee, for being a part of Future Focus. Tremendous opportunity to have a conversation with you. I've learned a lot, and I hope that our audience will enjoy this broadcast. Because it's very important. The work that we do with Senior Services is, for me, is personal, but it also is personal for my wife, Denise, and it's personal for what we do at Winston-Salem State University. To be in a position to be able to partner with Senior Services is a true partnership in so many ways. And we want to thank Lee for being with us tonight. And we want everybody to stay safe. And everybody to get ready. It's going to be a lot of media exposure to the delivery of this 7th millionth meal. So
that's right.
You'll see us, and you'll see Lee, and you'll see Denise, and you'll see others as we deliver it next Tuesday, midday around midday, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
All right, Lee. Be safe. Thank you for joining us tonight.
And thank you.
Be safe, everybody, and we'll see you next week on another edition of Future Focus Now.